And John came up to me after the bonfire was over. I was on my way down the hill almost, and he stopped me and wanted to talk to me and asked me if I could bring this morning's message. And I thought maybe he had too much smoke in his eyes from the bonfire and got me mixed up with somebody else. But nevertheless, it was something that I wasn't expecting, and I find it an honor that he would even ask me to do something like this. But it's the first time I've ever done something like this, and So bear with me, and I'm sure everything will be fine. I also wanted to say that, you know, I've really had a great time at this conference. My wife and I, we were here last year. We tried to make some of the conferences, which we can't make it to. They have weekly services all the time. But it's just been an outpouring of fellowship and love, I think, from everybody. I've gotten to meet a lot of people here that I did not meet last year, and some of you I've seen before. We met some pal talkers, Marsha, and we met some others. So it's just been a good conference, and I really enjoy the fellowship and the love that's been extended to one another, actually. And I think that this has been great for me. It's been a great week, and I hope to carry this on with me and down the road to some other conferences as well. Okay. If you can just open your Bibles with me this morning, and I want to turn to 1 Thessalonians. The first chapter, and we're going to read it verses 2 and 3. 1 Thessalonians 1, 2 and 3. If I can find it. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for getting together to once again to turn to your word, Lord, and the word of your grace. Pray, Lord Jesus, and thank you for all of the many blessings that you've bestowed upon us in our heavenly places. And we want to thank you for just giving us an opportunity to get together again as a group, as an assembly, to study your word and to try to retrieve some understanding and knowledge in such a way that we can take it with us in our everyday walk of life with you. We pray, Lord Jesus, and thank you that we've been allowed to be ambassadors for Christ on this earth, and our conversation is in heaven. And we can pray that as ambassadors, we can do the job that we need to do in terms of bringing out this gospel as ministers of reconciliation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The book of Thessalonians, actually, books went into concentrates on the snatching away of the body of Christ, better known as the rapture. And Paul was basically giving them he was commending them for a properly functioning assembly. They were generating and understanding the word of God, and he was really commending them for doing what they needed to do with the material that they had up to that point. They did not have all of the gospel yet, of course, in terms of revelations given to them. But whatever they had, they worked with it, and he was commending them for it. If we look back at verses 2 and 3 again, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus in the sight of God and our Father. The Thessalonians, if you wanted to outline it in terms of chapters, the first three chapters, I would say that chapter one is the an outline would be teaching the doctrine, which means that they understood the doctrine. And as I said, they was given the opportunity to teach what they had. And chapter two is living that doctrine that they had been taught. And then, of course, chapter three would be suffering for that doctrine. Again, Paul is commending them for that. We want to turn to 1 Thessalonians verses 6 and 7, just down a little further, and let's read that. And ye became followers of us. The us, of course, is referencing Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus up above in verse 1. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye are in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Paul is rejoicing in what the Thessalonians were doing and telling them that they were examples of how believers should be living within the parameters of God's will. I want to notice, though, that let me see. That they are operating on the principles which they've learned, but they have not yet received them all, as I said earlier. But they are following the basic blueprint, the outline of the structure that was given to them. And this is what they were doing a good job in. If you go down a little further, chapter 2, verses of Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 12. Let's read that. That ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom in glory. Now, the kingdom in this verse, obviously, this kingdom that we're talking about is the heavenly kingdom, not the earthly messianic kingdom. And but again, Paul is challenging them to walk worthy, to live out the grace life, which they have learned. 1 Thessalonians 3, chapters 1, verses 1 through 4. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we are with you, were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, as it came to pass, and ye know. So they are experiencing persecution. The Thessalonians were. They were experiencing trials or opposition. And so Paul is letting them know that this is the cost of what it takes to follow the word of God and to stay the course, so to speak. This is the cost for this is your reasonable service, your expectations. And so he's telling them, don't be surprised and really don't be shocked by this, because this is the type of opposition that you're going to be facing. So the Thessalonians, of course, they were having some issues in the second Thessalonians about some issues about the rapture in terms of what they were being told. And they were trying to, they were shaken by that. They were having some problems with that. So in second Thessalonians, again, chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, we're going to read that as second chapter. Thessalonians 1, 3, and 4. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith and all your persecutions and tribulations that endure. This assembly was faithful and in the will of God, and were abounding in the work of God, operating in a mature level of love toward one another. There was an abounding ability, and so, you know, Paul again was commending them for that. But that is the will of God, that you have an abounding love, that you do experience love toward one another in tribulation. So, you know, this is the kind of thing that we have to do as members of an assembly: is what is our love, and are we enduring some things, and is our faith working? So the second chapter of Hebrews kind of bridges this gap in terms of the means of deception that was taking place, and it was it served to stabilize the troubled and shaken minds of the Thessalonians and the body of Christ, that the body of Christ would not be raptured further to the right here during the 70th week of Daniel, but the body of Christ would be raptured before that. So chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians kind of establishes their faith and kind of reassures them that they would not be going through that wrath period, so to speak. And so this was something that they were shaken by that, and they were trying to Paul was trying to insist and letting them know in the second chapter that this is how exactly it's going to be. So now Paul transitions from that point to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. He says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Paul gives them a tremendous accolade here. Not only are they in the will of God, but they are being perfected by the word of God, and when they do that, when you're being perfected by the word of God, then God is being honored. The word of God is being honored. By following God's design and plan for edification, by being built up, established in the faith, working and abounding in it, this glorifies God's word. It really works. So then after this, you know, sometimes you hear people say today that we need to get rid of our religious beliefs is what we really need to get rid of, that if you're not being faithful to God, that you will become immune to some of the blessings that you would get, that you would be immune from problems if you are faithful to the Lord. And this, of course, causes guilt. It causes anxiety. And so we have to remember that as we are walking with the Lord, we're going to have problems. And it's not really based upon your actions or your experiences and your beliefs in terms of your circumstances. So, you know, this is some of the things that we have to establish. I know in my own life I have to really understand that. From my own background, I had to learn that when things happen around me, either good or bad, those are my circumstances, and it's not an indictment or a sign from God that something is happening with me in my life. So this is something that we should, as a body, be concerned about, and I know that this is something that we are working toward. But they were suffering tremendously. But notice in the same letter that they were suffering in, that Paul is telling them that God's word is being glorified. The Christians today, we can't accept this. The question is, how can a person of God really be, you know, a person of God and then have all of these troubles and problems? How can a believer be suffering? And that's right. Believers will suffer. That's exactly right. So that's something that Christendom as a whole that they don't understand. But that's just something that you have to rightly divide the word and understand that this is exactly why that situation will and always exist. If you turn back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, this was a transition again. That note in verse 2 that Paul, let's read verse 2, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Well, again, Paul is letting these Thessalonians know, in due time he's going to let Timothy know, that there are some men out here. He's going to start giving names as to those men who were not necessarily following the doctrine, that they were even going to fall from the faith. So this verse in chapter 3, verse 2, is more or less of a transition to the book of Timothy. But the context of and if we go to let's go to 2 Thessalonians 3:3. Let's read that verse. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and to keep you from evil. And I know that, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. You have to be careful again that the evil that they're talking about here is not just general evil or calamity. It's a specific evil. And again, it's the satanic evil that Satan is out to trying to destroy the doctrinal edification of the saints. So, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Again, it's this satanic stronghold. Sometimes it's always trying to tear down, to keep you from moving forward. This verse is saying that it's the evil that's being defined, and it's not just calamities, because we're going to have it. We're going to have those kinds of issues in our life. So if we can turn to, I wanted to compare this verse, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you to keep you from evil. I wanted to compare this verse with in Romans. If you can turn to Romans 16, 20. Romans 16, 20. And 16:20 says, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. So, again, you know, what is Satan's ultimate objective? Satan's ultimate objective in our life. What is it that he's really trying to do for your life and my life? Let's look at verse 16, 17, and 18 above in Romans. And let's read that passage. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of, verse 17. Let's start at 17. Verses 17 and 18. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ with their own belly, and by good works and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For our obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf, but yet would you have wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. The objective of Satan today is to destroy sound doctrine, or to replace sound doctrine with bad doctrine. That is his objective. That is his mission. And so, you know, we have to make sure that we are standing fast and understand that. If you drop down to verse 16:25 of Romans, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. Paul is preparing the Romans for the satanic attack in this particular verse. Satan is trying to upend their edification by bad doctrine. And again, Paul is saying when the revelation of the mystery is complete, he will enable them to stand on the finished, completely cured foundation according to Paul's gospel. So when you're talking about establish, you're talking, there's a difference between establish and establish. And in verses 25 here, and back in Thessalonians where he talked about establish, you can compare that usage with the verse in Romans 1:11, where it talks about a different type of establishment. It talks about establish. Verses 1:11 in Romans says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established." So you have the term established, and then in Romans 16:25 in Thessalonians it says establish. When you're talking about establish, you're pouring concrete in a building or a foundation wall, there's two ways. There's a process that when you pour it, the first part of the foundation, when you are setting up the forms and you're putting in the admix of concrete, sand, and water, it's in the forms, and the concrete foundation at that point is being established. That concrete can really do no good while that concrete is wet and in that state, and that's the beginning process. And so when the beginning of Romans, he's talking about establishing them in their doctrine. But as that concrete becomes cured and it becomes hardened and becomes it comes to a state where, like, every square inch of concrete after it's cured can hold over 3,000 or 4,000 pounds. That's being established. That is, the foundation has already been cured. And we'll be talking about the gospel here in Romans and in Thessalonians. The answer is about being established. If you go back to Thessalonians, if you go back to 2 Thessalonians 3:3, again, let's look at that verse. "But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil." And again, the answer to this is in that same verse. The Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Well, you're being kept from this evil. You're understanding this because God has promised to establish you in his word. And that's how you become strong and you can deal with the wiles of the world. It's because you are in his word. We've been hearing some wonderful messages this week from all of the speakers. And they're talking about the Word of God and the power of the Word of God. And so when we talked about, I think Pastor Jordan last night talked about the sword. And so when you talked about in Ephesians 6, when they're talking about the put on the whole armor of God, they put on the breastplate, they put on the helmet of salvation, they put all of these things, you put it on, but there's nothing on your back in that. And that's because you're not supposed to turn and run from the enemy. You're supposed to stand fast with your sword in hand, being ready to defend the word of God and to attack the enemy. So the word sword, of course, I always like this word because when you spell out the word sword, remember, It's the word and sword that keeps you strong and in front of the Lord. So anyway, this is the message that I really wanted to extend to you all this afternoon, that we have learned a lot at this conference. I have. I can speak for myself, and I'm sure you have too. But as we go, as Brother Joseph said, down the hill, as we go out into the world and as we go forward, that we should always remember that the only way we're going to be able to deal with those calamities, those unexpected events in life, is to stand fast in His Word, to study it, because as 2 Timothy 2:15 says, that is the only way you're going to really understand this, is to study His Word, rightly divide. So that is something that we should always be prepared to do as we walk this journey in life, and as we go forward, giving God the glory. We can do this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You once again for another day of fellowship, another day of getting together with the saints and to review Your Word, to talk about all of the wonderful blessings that You have bestowed upon us in heavenly places. And we pray that when we go forth from this conference, that we go forth with a new determination, a new mind to further the gospel. And that as we go forward, that we, as we go to this journey in life, that we don't go just for ourselves, that we want to extend Your gospel to others. We want to make sure that we can let as many others know as possible about the grace of God, the gospel according to Paul. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.